Living the Vita, La Vita Marcy. And then you have Jeremy Coleman, Mark Anthony, program director, wearing his Madden Salvation Army clothes again today.
Hello, gentlemen.
As we speak, got new general manager of the Washington Redskins, Jeremy Coleman. As we speak, he is assuming the fetal position underneath his desk on the third, sometimes you're converted to his second floor, the executive floor of the bomb shelter here.
Of course.
Then in New York City, you've got Big Daddy Mel ruling the world. Love you, Buddha.
Oh, hell.
And of course, our agent, get off the schneid. Our agent, Junior Soprano, trying to make those million-dollar deals happen in Chicago.
Yeah.
And to chain of command, word of advice now for the soccer moms. Take Junior and Missy and move them way to the back of your minivan. Watch out, I just whipped this thing out.
Hey, it's wearing a sweater vest.
That's hair, Mike.
Oh, God.
That is coarse, thick, Brillo-like hair.
Knitted into some nair.
Another perfectly executed opening. This big-time major market radio show, Arbitron rated, 5 million listeners. And for that, we are very, very thankful.
Woo-hoo!
Here is our friend, next from my left, your right, radio's email buddy, Guy Burnley. Hello, Guy.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi, Buzz. Nice to see you again. Okay. Just a couple of things I want to get off my chest, so to speak.
Yes.
First, you might find me just a little testy today.
You're a little on edge?
A little testier than my normal good-natured, easygoing self.
Oh, what happened?
Well, I'm just going to be glad when my son gets back from Europe, because frankly, I'm tired of the middle-of-the-night phone calls.
Yes.
And last night, we got the phone call at 3 a.m.
Oh, man.
Then we got another phone call at 3:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got another phone call at 4:30 a.m. when I finally said to my wife, listen, forget it. I'm off now.
Right.
You know, I might as well go to the station, call Mike, and we might as well go do our old morning show. Because it's 4:30 in the friggin' morning, and I'm awake.
So he was very excited. Lots going on,
well,
obviously.
He called at 3 a.m. He's in Germany right now, which was like 9 o'clock Germany time.
Right.
Called us to tell us, good news, he found a traveler's check.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not out of money.
Okay.
Said, okay.
Good.
Fine. Went back to sleep. 3:30, phone rings. Dad, got a problem. They were having a sugar cube fight,
right?
He and some of the other guys that he's sharing a hotel room with, and
those can hurt.
He threw one of the sugar cubes and hit this kid in the eye.
Oh.
He said, and the kid can't see out of the eye now, and his eyes are puffy. Oh, what should I do?
Oh, my God.
Right? And, like, I hear the other kid in the hotel room going, my eye, my eye. I'm like, well, go tell the teachers. I don't want to tell the teacher. I don't want to get in trouble.
You tell the teachers that it sounds like are in some other country.
Oh, they're over there.
Well, the teachers are, you know, it's not like if Homo Joe was to take the boys to Europe.
Right.
They're all not sleeping in one big room together.
Sure, sure.
Because they have like four kids to a room.
Right.
And then I guess the teachers have their own rooms. I'm not sure the sleeping arrangement.
Ooh.
But, they didn't want to go tell the teacher.
Right.
So, you know, at that point, now I'm up. I'm sitting up in bed. I said, no, you got to go tell the teacher. Go tell the teacher, and if the kid needs to go see the doctor, go see the doctor.
So, and obviously, the kid had a low pain threshold.
So we go through the whole rigmarole. 3:30, finally, I hang the phone up, go back to sleep. 4:30, there it is again. Dad, want to let you know, he had to get drops for his eyes. He'll be fine. The doctor cost $25. Dad, do you know that $25 is about 100 marks? Dad, it costs 110 marks, and by this time, you know,
I'm just wide awake.
It's over.
So, forget about it. I can't get back to sleep.
When's he come back?
He comes back tomorrow. Thank God.
Thank God he's coming. It sounds like he kind of routinely calls you first thing in the morning his time. Or is that the middle of the day?
No, it's about 9 a.m.
About 9 a.m., yeah.
We made the mistake of telling him,
call anytime.
Call anytime, because we were so desperate to hear from him.
Well, it's also probably what you want to say to somebody when they're going overseas, you know, when a kid's going overseas. Call anytime. In case there's any emergency, he'd never feel bad about calling.
And frankly, now that he's over there, you know, we don't want to make him feel bad by saying, listen, you got to stop calling us at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Because if you say that, then he won't call if something bad happens.
And there are some parents that we've talked to who have said, hey, have you heard anything from Bart?
Right.
And we say, are you kidding? He calls us like 20 times a day, and they say, we haven't heard anything from our kid. Our kid hasn't called us once. Weighing that out, I guess I would rather have those calls. So I'm a little sleep deprived.
Right.
Come into the station today. And listen, I've got nothing against Bretta, the sales lady.
Uh-huh.
Except she is simply, as far as I can discern, the stupidest person on 2 feet. And I'll tell you what. It's the parking space thing again.
Yes, the parking space issue has reared its ugly head once
again. Now, you know, when I come into work every once in a while and someone's down in my spot, I don't make a big deal about it. I swear to God I don't.
Right.
I take another spot.
Mm-hmm.
I park up on the top deck. I take Ken's spot. I take Alan's spot. It's not a big deal. But this sales lady, Bretta, I can't tell you, at least 2 times a week, this bitch takes my parking spot.
I thought I was going to, I must tell you, I really feel now, I am feeling guilty for what I did, because I thought that I was going to take away all of your anxiety by taking the mint snuff little containers.
You did
and
not.
Dumping them all over her seat.
I appreciate it. Now listen,
I thought that I really. And then when you were still angry after that, that meant that my action had done nothing to take away your anger.
I appreciate your bit of rage.
Yes.
And for the moment, I did feel better. But
it didn't last long.
Listen, the bitch takes my parking spot. Good time. Mm-hmm. It's not like this happens once in a while.
Right.
And, you know, let's face it, there's not a lot of parking spots down there.
No, they're very tight down there.
It's one of the few caveats that we have with our contract.
It is our contract.
Spots.
It really is. I mean, you know, I think I said this to you in the office. We do have a contract, and it is in the contract that we are to have them.
Furthermore, there are signs that are posted all over the radio station that show the parking grids and whose space is what.
That is the problem. And let me speak to that problem right now. The problem is the spots. I've been in offices where you clearly know that when you pull into a space, it's one word. It says reserved.
Uh-huh.
And it's in big, bold letters. They don't have those here.
No.
And that's all you need. And that, of course, if it was reserved and somebody's working here, that would still happen.
But listen, come on. Everybody knows what our cars look like.
Right.
And certainly, you come into a parking lot 5 days a week,
uh-huh.
you know, every week of the goddamn year.
Right.
You know what cars go in what spots. So I pull in again today. And, you know, let me just, now that I'm thinking back to it, it was twice last week. It was twice the week before that we were on vacation. It was 3 times the week before. Every day I come in and this girl is in my parking spot.
There is really not. It's so irritating. It really is. Because, I mean, when you have
something. And there's no place to park down there.
Right.
I mean, if you don't have one of the reserve spots, forget about it. You've got to park a mile away. So when I pulled down there today, I saw Mike and Tim McWilliams and David Hainlein. And, of course, Tim McWilliams, big smile on his face. Hey, Donnie. That's Bretta in your space again. That's Bretta in your pocket space. Oh, that Bretta. What are you going to do about that, Donnie? Gee, I don't know, Tim. Meanwhile, I'm trying to find another place, so I steal Alan's place. While I'm parking my car, I notice Mike goes up to Bretta's car, which is a convertible, and she has a big box full of what looks to be like containers that you would put chewing tobacco in.
Yeah, she said it was chewing gum, but it's the mint snuff things.
Right.
The little containers.
We've given them away on the show.
I said, this will make a nice statement. And so I dump all the little containers out on her front and back seat. I said, this will add, and I've been being conservative. I think that'll add 8 minutes to the next place he has to have.
But like I say, I appreciate that. One buddy to another.
I thought that would take care.
I appreciate it.
And then I felt like it was piling on that I had done that because you were already mad and you yelled at her anyway up in the office. And so then I felt like, well, now I wish I hadn't done that because Nancy's going to go down there after this. She has certainly got, I certainly hope that she gets the message now. But it's almost like it's. I feel like it's almost like too much. As much as I am mad at Britta for taking my space a lot too, which she does. She takes yours a lot.
I'll tell you what the deal with Britta is. The deal with Britta is that she's a good-looking woman, and she's used to getting her way,
right?
Because she's a good-looking woman, just like when she came up to the office. She stands in front of the desk. Mike's on the couch. I'm behind the desk. She's giving me those big puppy dog eyes, and she goes, "Listen. I'm having a bad day today."
That's what she said every day.
Listen, I'm having a bad day today. I said, "Bob, frankly, I don't care." I said, "Why do you take my spot all the time?"
Look at hates all women here.
I love all women. Yeah, you know what? I had a good talk with Nate and Madonna. I had a nice talk with Madonna. Don't start about Madonna.
No, but I liked Madonna. But you must say, this is just like, do you remember Melanie? The blonde-haired salesgirl,
yes.
Who also had the same problem. It seems to be sort of like a running theme.
Sure.
Good-looking girls are
working
here.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, of course, as I was like, well, you'll enjoy what I left on your front seat. And then, of course, you know, I get the F you. And then she walks out.
She says, she comes from the office, and I said, "Brother, why do you take my spot all the time?" I said, "All the time you take my spot. You know that's my spot." She said, "I thought it was cans." You know, I pulled in, I thought it was cans. Now listen, Britta, and I said this to her face, I swear to God, I said, "You're not stupid."
Right.
You know, there are 5 parking spots down there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how it goes. Buzz, Mike, me, Ken, Miss Bobby,
Alan,
G. Gordon Liddy. I mean, the same cars are in the same spots every day.
Uh-huh. It's one row.
It's pretty obvious to anybody that comes down to that office which spot is Ken's.
One row. It's based on revenue. Okay?
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then why doesn't Buzz have a first spot?
Because Buzz has an agent. Nice.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm just pissed at Britta. I'm just pissed at her. There's no two ways about it.
I guarantee you she knows
I'm more pissed at her than when she came in here that day and started screaming about the towing company and she had the wrong towing company and she almost got the station sued.
I know.
I'm more pissed.
You're more pissed. And I understand because I've been in the same thing. For me, David Hayline is the biggest violator of taking. But David Hayline was delighted to see that somebody else had taken your space today. They were both.
Well, you know what?
Derek Williams and David Hayline were both having a great time.
The salespeople, they're like a bunch of dogs that live in a pack.
They're cannibals.
Right?
They're cannibals.
If anything bad happens to anybody else in the group,
they'll chew each other's arms off.
They love it.
Yeah.
They absolutely love it. So listen, brother, please. Never park in that space again.
Right.
Or next time, I'm just going to have your car towed. I'm just going to have it towed.
That's fair.
Or maybe I'll just loogie in that car. What do you think about that, Britta, huh? I've been known to loogie in cars before.
No, you never did that.
No, never did.
Right.
Thought about it, though.
Right, sure.
Thought about loogie in somebody's car that wouldn't pay us for a live commercial that we did.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Come on, mate. There's a statute of limitations on that. God.
Man, let's go bungee jumping again. Oh, my God.
Oh, that was a long time ago. All right, just shut up, okay? I know that. Okay, let's not talk about it anymore.
I wouldn't even remember it if you wouldn't have said it to me.
Okay. When you threw the stuff on our car, you said, I said, "Wait, why'd you do that?" And you said, "Well, it could have been worse. I could have spit in her car." All right, so I spit in somebody's car one time.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on. So
I have no memory of it.
Just a joke, Mike.
Yes, that's right.
Just a joke.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. That's right. You never really did.
Big fun.
That's right.
So anyway.
Yes.
Hi, everybody.
How you doing?
Hey, good looking Tuesday.
Two for Tuesday.
And that All-Star game last night.
The home run hitting contest.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that a little bit.
Here's what I'd like to say about that. You're right about the uniforms.
Well, aren't those unis the queerest?
I don't understand what designer, you know, had some sort of Vietnam flashback when they were designing those. It was crazy.
I'm watching the coverage last night on ESPN. And now for being an event that I know a lot of people watch.
Yes.
Because everybody likes seeing Sosa and McGuire and Griffey hit the home run.
Right. By and large, though, it has a boredom point to it.
But a lot of guys will tune in.
Yeah.
You know, just to see the greatest hitters in baseball get together. You would think that for such a broadcast is going to reach a large audience, that ESPN would check the microphones and stuff before the broadcast.
ESPN, that is, in my opinion, the worst coverage of any sporting event I have ever seen in my life.
They had some guy sitting up in the stands with Ted Williams, who is kind of a,
hold on a second. Who's calling on the hotline?
Hello?
Hey, Dad.
Hey, bud.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, well, are you calling from Europe?
Yep.
Well, now, this is good timing. I was just mentioning your calls early this morning.
Oh.
And the Sugar Cube fight. How is your friend doing with the Sugar Cube?
He's great.
Good, okay.
He's good? Don't worry. He can see now?
Oh, yeah. Good. He's got medicine for it.
He got medicine for it.
So you really nailed him in the eye, huh?
I had didn't mean to.
Of course you didn't mean to, but he's doing all right.
Yeah, it's an accident.
Well, hey, I love you.
Love you, too.
I'm so glad that you called again.
Yeah, well, I got a group here, and they want to know if I can shave my head.
No, Barney, didn't Mommy and I already go over this with you?
Yeah, but it's the last night.
No, absolutely not. No head shaving. No.
Please?
No head shaving.
Please? No.
No. No head shaving.
None?
No, I'm going to be pissed if you come back with your head shaved. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, end of discussion.
Okay.
Okay. Love you. See you tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, buddy. And there you go.
Now, a question for you.
Modern father.
Yes, question me, you know, because yours is so much older than mine are, and I just, now, your feelings right now, you 1,000% sure that he's not going to turn around and do it?
Of course not.
I didn't think so.
I felt that when you were talking to him.
All a bluff.
Yeah.
When you're a parent, it's all a bluff. It's just like when he was a little kid.
Right.
Remember when Fred and I, when he would piss us off, he would act like Dave and we would go, one,
right.
Two. Yeah. He never knew that if we ever got to three, the only thing that would come after that would be four, five, and six. He always thought that there was something bad that was going to happen after three.
You think, though, probably not. He won't do it. You kind of got the message across.
I don't think so. But it's obvious. You know, I heard the other kid in the background. He's getting some peer pressure.
A lot of it.
So anyway.
It's all about semantics.
Okay.
If it had been your dad at this end, and that had been you in Europe,
I would never have called. I would have been one of the kids that would have been gone for 3 weeks and never would have called the parents one time.
Well, that's a good sign about Bart, then, that he called.
Oh, no. I think he's a great kid.
Sure.
And I hope that he continues to be a great kid and doesn't shave his head. Plus, you know, if you shave your head in Germany, won't you look more like a neo-Nazi?
Yes.
Right, because you haven't done it in Germany.
And, you know, Bart's kind of that fair-skinned complexion. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got that kind of blonde hair.
Very Aryan-looking.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Where were we?
I don't know what we were talking about. We were talking about ESPN and their horrible coverage of the All-Star Game home run contest.
So they have Ted Williams, you know, the all-time great Red Sox hero. And he's kind of a curmudgeon to begin with, who doesn't really want to be interviewed.
He's kind of a curmudgeon, but, you know, hey, Ted, you know, you're a superstar. You're still making money. You're still, you know, you're still one of the greatest players ever to play the game. Do something about the bottom row, okay? Maybe put a few fake teeth in there.
Pull a Regis. Pull a Jack Lemmon.
You ever see when he's interviewing? He's just like,
I wasn't even noticing his teeth because who was it that had the stands interviewing?
I forgot who was up there.
Whoever it was, the microphone quality was like this. And because it's Ted Williams, and they don't want to piss Ted Williams off because he's finally doing an interview,
right?
It's like nobody bothers to break in to say hello,
right?
We can't hear a thing that you're saying.
Sure, exactly.
It was Rich Eisen that was doing the interview with him.
It was just ridiculous. But the whole coverage.
But that's not the worst. The worst thing last night was that guy that we met at the Super Bowl, right? Stuart Scott,
a guy that believes he is central to the game, to the athletes, and he's a jerk.
So after the guys would do their home run contest, the home run derby, they would immediately go from taking their swings to standing by the on-deck circle where Stuart Scott would be there to interview them. And because the production values on ESPN were not real great,
they were horrible,
they would go right from the booth,
Chris
Berman, who incidentally, said back, like, a million times
too
many.
It was so stupid. You know what they didn't understand? The actual act of watching a home run, especially watching a home run in a great ballpark like that. If they put cameras where you could, you know, follow the ball flight, instead of, like, getting shots of the idiots that were outside the Green Monster, like, tearing into each other, and they could just... Did you really get a good look at any of the home runs that were hit?
No.
In a regular game, and I certainly have watched enough regular games.
Yeah, you get a better angle than in a regular baseball game.
And instead, it's all the hype, and, you know, and if Chris Berman one more time had to go,
Big Berman, it's Chris Berman, my hemorrhoids are killing me, it's going to go all the way to Marblehead.
That was to Connecticut.
Oh, God.
That was to Rhode Island.
That went on the Mass Turnpike.
You know, it doesn't... Mark McGuire hitting 13 home runs does not need any hype.
Right. Pretty great watching him hit them.
Amazing.
So these guys get done hitting their home runs, or lack thereof, and immediately they go to Stuart Scott. Well, because this is not a very organized broadcast, the guys in the booth, they don't give Stuart Scott and the producers a chance to get set with the player. They go, all right, Griffey's done, let's go down to Stuart Scott. So the camera's on Stuart Scott, and you see the baseball player walk onto the set.
Right.
And then Stuart Scott, with every single baseball player, insisted on putting out his fist.
Yeah, hitting the fist like a teammate would do.
Right. You know when ball players do something good and they do that to each other? You know, that's something that jocks do. That's not something that
an ESPN guy does to a baseball player.
I totally agree. It looked totally lightweight. It's Stuart Scott thinking he's more important than he is when he's just he's a broadcaster. He is not a player.
Mm-hmm. Every time a guy would come up, whether it be Bagwell, McGuire, Sosa, all these guys, that guy from Milwaukee who I never heard of who came in second.
Who was that guy?
Who knows?
Who was he?
I've never heard of him before. But he would do the same. The player would walk up, and Stuart Scott gives him his body language. He went, yeah, you did it, man. Put on Cisco. And then you would actually hear Stuart Scott say, all right, now you got to talk up. You got to talk up. You got to speak up.
Yeah.
You got to talk up. He goes, hello. Yeah, hey, we're here with Jeff Bagwell. Yeah.
And then and the questions, just trying so hard to be cool.
Stuart's
not trying to ask a decent question.
Too cool for school.
Just too cool for school and trying to ask the question that would be cool and not the question that would be appropriate for what the guy just did. You know, there was a time, really, when you get the guys that were coming off the field and you give them just, they're in their environment, you give them a little bit of respect instead of just trying to be. And,
I never thought I'd be wishing for Tony Kubek or Joe Garage Door Opener.
I know, but I tell
a little too much, right?
Vin Scully, Kurt Gowdy, the old guys did it differently. It's not all this crap that we have to wade through.
Sure,
now.
My man.
Oh, God.
You're hitting it out of the park. Doing the thing with the fist and like bumping the guys in the form and going, you're the man.
Berman with all his jargon and all his jive ass commentary that's just so unnecessary. Well, I think the home run contest is great. I think it's fantastic. I tell you, I really like the way they put the kids. They get certain kids that win contests.
Or to play the outfield.
They get to play the outfield.
That's nice for them.
But I'll tell you something. Just leave it alone. It's fun to watch guys hit home runs. There were no close-ups of real close-ups of the pitchers. But these guys, they were talking about how they all brought their own pitchers.
They had some close-ups of McGuire, though.
What is up with Mark McGuire's skin?
He's
sitting there lying on the ground with that angle right here with that jowl.
Is that because of the steroids or what?
Yeah, it must be the end.
I mean, he's got the vish skin. Mark McGuire's got the worst skin. Worse than Joe Torre. A million times worse than Pizza Face Torre.
That's from, when he was a young lad. That's
bad acne when he was in high school?
Those are acne scars. That is true.
He is the worst.
He's a scary-looking guy. I mean, I would want... Because he's got that fish face anyway, where he's kind of like...
He has kind of that Private Pile from Full Metal Jacket look in his eyes sometimes. Especially, did you see when he was up at the plate? He would do that thing where he's concentrating. And he blinks. He would frown.
An android or something. But I mean, when he hit the 13 home runs, you're right, that was the one time where I just got to a point with Chris Berman. There were like four home runs in a row where every single home run that was obviously a home run, Chris Berman had to go bang, 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 bang.
And it just was, it's such garbage.
It was annoying, man. Sports. It really, it's gone too far. I hope the pendulum swings back a little.
It was annoying.
All right, well, hold on. Here's some people want to talk about that. Today is the 13th of July, and our phone number is still 1-800-636-1067. Hello?
Don and Mike.
Buddy.
Hey, my brother was actually on that street behind the monster last night. I don't know if you guys have ever been up there.
I've been up there. I know exactly where it is.
It's all bars and stuff along that street.
Yeah, so, it's a family in there. It's a fence. It's nice.
He said that people...
Nice. They're not nice at all, actually. It's really kind of
cool. It's awful. It's like around Wrigley Field. Wrigley Field.
Same way as around Wrigley.
Big ghetto around Wrigley Field. Everybody talks about Wrigleyville, about the comfortable atmosphere around Wrigley Field. Hell, when you go to Wrigley Field, you put your money down your underpants because you're so afraid you're going to be mugged on your way into the stadium.
Yeah, the old ballparks are the nasty parts of town.
Right.
What?
Last night at the game, he said people were just beating the crap out of each other to catch those home run balls.
Yeah, it looks like because it was so crowded behind the monster.
A girl got one, like a teenage girl, and a guy walked up and just punched her right in the face.
Welcome to Boston. All right, thank you, my friend.
No problem.
All right, goodbye.
I saw the tourists that were coming in, Don.
Yeah, not native Bostonians.
Somebody said that at one point, too. When somebody ran out on the field, somebody made a comment about that. It's obviously somebody visiting from another town.
The people from Boston are so good natured.
Hey, Starica!
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, buddy.
Buddy.
Mike, buddy. What's up, fellas?
Hey.
Nothing more heartening than somebody parking in your parking space. Definitely the only way to take care of it is taking a big fatty dump right in their driver's seat.
Okay, thank you.
All right, spoken like somebody who might have done that before.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Well, that would teach her a lesson.
That's for sure.
And sure would.
Especially if she didn't notice it before she got in.
Hey, Rob? Go take a dump in Brett's pocket. Hello, Don and Mike.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Bundy.
Hey, you guys are talking about ESPN's coverage of the Home Run Derby. And I don't know if you guys saw, but when McGuire just hit that bomb down the left field line over the lights,
right.
Well, you know how that is, like you guys are saying, their cameras, they go to the people standing behind there. And
right, stupid.
Exactly.
And you couldn't see the ball. I mean, they completely lose the flight of the ball.
You see, like when Mark McGuire would hit a home run,
right.
Rather than stay on the shot of inside the baseball stadium to
right.
see the ball going up, 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 and over, they would cut to a shot of outside
where they were, you know, and then
thousands of people, like at a British soccer match outside.
And they were down, like, behind the green monster. So I think in many cases, the balls he was hitting, Mark McGuire, those balls were going over the people, you
sure.
know? And you just couldn't see. I'd love to see the ball flight. I really, and don't they have in like the World Series and the playoffs, don't they have actually isolated cameras sometimes?
Sure.
Where you've got a guy,
mm-hmm.
just his one job is to follow the ball.
Of course, and I'm sure they had it last night, too.
Yeah, and it just sucks.
They just don't use it.
No, it's terrible.
Well, there was one last night where he hit it out, and then the camera goes to behind the wall, and they're showing all these people scramble to get it, right?
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of funny. There's, you know, 30 people on the ground fighting for this thing. Well, along comes this dude with the camera on his shoulder, right?
Oh, and knocks over the kid.
He knocks over the kid.
I saw that.
He knocks the kid over. Then you're like, oh, my God, that guy just knocked that kid over. So you're like, okay, he's going to walk around him. Hell no, the guy put it in the four-wheel drive and ran right over.
Walks right over. I remember exactly.
He wanted to get his baseball.
Yeah. No, he's getting a shot. He wanted to get a shot.
Oh, is that what he was doing?
Cameraman with a camera. With a shoulder pack on his camera. He walks over like a 10-year-old kid.
I thought it was a homemade. I thought it was like a home
no,
video.
No,
I didn't know that was a.
This guy actually had a camera pack and he walked right over the kid.
Oh, like an ESPN guy. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Hey.
A little off the subject, but I wonder if you guys ever saw the movie Full Metal Anus.
Oh, listen, please, wait. We're going to get into that, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, I promise.
We had so much fun with that yesterday.
A whole segment to that, please. Just cool your jets for a second.
That was somebody who had such a good time at yesterday's party, he wants to start right up again.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. We'll get into it, I promise. Hello.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi.
Back to Chris Berman. Is that guy ever going to join the ranks of Frank Gifford here pretty quick? I mean, how much? His time is limited, right?
No way. He's going to be around for a while.
Well, Chris Berman's only like in his mid-40s, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, he always picks the 49ers every year for the Super Bowl, and why does he do that?
I always feel like
there's nothing wrong with a guy picking the same team every year for the Super Bowl.
When I listen to Chris Berman, I really always feel like I'm listening to a guy who's faking it. I'm listening to a guy who really isn't a sports fan, where it's really his job, and he just tries to create so much jargon, and it's just kind of fake.
I think he's evolved into that. I think at one point.
Yeah, at one point he was a good guy. I mean, he's fun to watch.
Before he sold out, before he started doing commercials and stuff, before
he came to personality.
Before I think he felt the pressure, like all those ESPN guys do.
Right.
To not simply be there calling the game, that they had to all have their funny lines ready, you know, do a little dance, make a little glow.
Now, how many times in the home run derby do you say, that ball's in the harbor?
Yeah, I know. That fake accent where he goes, the harbor.
You know, one thing that was great, though, did you hear where they would have guys mic? Like when Jeff Bagwell was up, the guy for Houston, when he would swing, he'd swing and he'd hit like one just past second base, he'd go, F! And you know, on ESPN, they make no mention of that.
Okay.
The fact that you hear a guy screaming the F word out.
The Milwaukee guy did it at one point, and I'm not sure who was doing the color commentary, but he said, "Hey, it's all right, it's cable."
Oh, really?
The Milwaukee guy.
Well, at least he addressed it.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
it was so loud and so clear. He just went, "Oh."
Ass.
Okay. All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you guys kick ass.
Right.
You guys are the best.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Goodbye.
Woo!
Shout out!
Yeah.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Nomar Garcia Parra.
Right. No home runs, too.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
I wanted to check if you guys caught Mike Piazza doing the commentary.
Yeah, that's who said it. I think Mike Piazza is the one that might have said it's cable.
Oh, really? Well, that would make more sense. If the ball players up there and said something that everybody was really thinking, but not one of the ESPN guys.
Piazza wasn't all that bad, actually, I thought.
I think Piazza was better than Chris Berman.
I agree.
Berman has to go back to doing the NFL where he can climb up in Thurman Thomas's butt and...
to talk about the Bills every fall.
There's a lot of hatred out there for Mr. Chris Berman.
The thing I liked about Mike Piazza was that he was real, like mellow, and he was kind of, he had some interesting things to say, and then he was just, he wasn't overselling it like all the, and there you have, you know, you have the guy that's been there, that's done it.
Mike Piazza gets some stink. Do you know that? He gets some major league stink.
Yeah, it looks like those shorts would be pretty stinky, too, after a day's game.
I tell you, he's with some pretty hot girls.
Yeah, of course.
You ever seen him in the tabloids and stuff?
Ever since he did those shampoo commercials.
Hello, Don and Mike. Last call. Hello there.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I was watching that thing last night that Chris Berman was driving me so crazy that I turned it on mute. And it was actually a great show watching it during mute.
Sure.
And
probably a good idea.
Yeah, except if you have closed captioning, you would still see on the screen, you know, back.
That would actually break the fingers on the person that's doing the stenography for that, you know?
Back, and then just go, shut up.
Hey, in Detroit, since they really are airing you guys, like they're airing the show, but they're not pumping you guys out much, that's T-shirt or something I can wear around town to get the word out that you guys are here?
What? It's an interesting way to ask for a T-shirt. They're not pumping us up on the station in Detroit, so you're asking for a T-shirt to promote the show.
Well, we already got everybody at work.
We don't have any T-shirts. We have nothing. This show is no budget. That's our mantra.
Man, I want to get the word out.
What you want to do is get two pieces of plywood and, you know, just tie them together with rope, drill a hole in the top, and make a sandwich board.
Sandwich board. All right. Thank you.
All right. Goodbye.
Well, we're getting some love from Detroit, there's no doubt about it.
We certainly are.
We're getting some love from that city. Listen, we're up on a break. We'll do the toll. Touchstones. Right here.
And then we'll be right bang.
Caller number 100, and we have a prize package selected especially for you. And yes, then we'll get into the anus thing that we touched on briefly at the end of yesterday's show. But now a caller 100 prize package selected especially for you. Good luck.
We'll be right back.
This blonde hair and dark eyebrows.
You've never been a fan of the blonde hair, dark eyebrow look.
No, but that girl's not hot. That girl that hit the winning goal. She's just not hot.
Yeah, but I must agree with you when you use the word hot.
Yes.
See, hot is a very strong word.
Well, hot is just a step down from cute.
Mm. Yeah, cute, you would be attractive, would be a word I would use to describe you.
Now, see, to me, attractive.
It's attractive. It's attractive. Cute. No, it's cute, attractive, hot.
Right. No. Oh, absolutely not.
You think it's hot?
No, I think it's hot, attractive, cute. Those are all in the same ballpark.
But on the scale.
Then you get down to average.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get down to ugly.
So we're using cute, attractive, and hot all as one grouping.
See, to me, if you say a girl is cute.
Right.
One immediately has it, she must be hot. Oh. She's attractive. She must be hot.
Okay.
All right. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Now I understand where the breakdown's occurring. Yes. What I'm saying is when I say attractive, that means she's not unpleasant to look at.
Right.
But she is not somebody who I would consider to be hot. Because if she was hot, then that would mean, you know, she's hot means turbocharged.
All right, well, wait.
Super robo hot.
Let me get the one here. And let's see if I can come in a little bit.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi. Who is this?
Angela Griego from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Angela.
Yes.
Baby, you are caller 100.
Hi.
And here you go, Angela. You've won the Thin Red Line Patriot Prize. And that means you want VHS copies of all of these movies. The Thin Red Line, Patton, 12 O'Clock High, MASH, and The Siege. The Thin Red Line, now available on video and DVD at stores everywhere. Plus, Angela, you've qualified to have us pay your rent or mortgage. We're going to be doing that on Friday, July 30th. How much do you pay every month?
A total of $500. I have space in a trailer, so...
My trailer trash.
Yeah.
Watch out for those tornadoes.
Oh, thanks.
Well, listen, there's still more, Angela. You've also qualified for our weekly giveaway. This Thursday, we're giving away a trip for two to WWF Fully Loaded in Buffalo.
Oh, right.
Well, listen, from Albuquerque, you know, it's about
to say hi to Frank Padilla. He's a courier here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he's the one that has me calling, and he's going to be thrilled to know that I'm calling from here that I won. All right.
Okay, beautiful. WWF Fully Loaded, Sunday, July 25th.
Thanks.
Trip is courtesy Media General Cable, airfare hotel, courtesy of Subway, the way a sandwich should be. Please make sure you're listening to Thursday's episode when we're giving the trip to Buffalo away.
Okay, great.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hold on a second.
Albuquerque to Buffalo. You make a bottom dollar, that's not a nonstop.
Certainly not on this show.
No way.
He could be Rochester to Buffalo, and it wouldn't be a nonstop on this show. I promise you'll have to stop it out in Albany on the way. And I don't know what it is about trailers.
Yes.
You know, God hates trailers.
I know he does.
Of course, whenever there's a tornado or a hurricane flood, but even in Las Vegas last week, when they had the floods, where's the one place in town where everything got washed out and people lost everything? Trailer parks.
Horrible. It's really such a bad break. It's terrible. It's terrible because they're, you know, as I've said for years and years, it's really the optimum alternative lifestyle is to live in a house with wheels.
All right, now listen, I have the list of our ratings of women.
Okay. Okay.
Now, let me just explain to you from my perspective.
Okay.
Cute, attractive, hot.
Right.
They're all pretty much the same. If you look at the way that I've rated these girls, like Jennifer Aniston, I'd say, if you asked me about her, I could give you any one of the three. She's cute, she's attractive, or she's hot.
See, and I would tell you that when you say hot, as soon as you say hot, that immediately supersedes cute and attractive. Mm-hmm. Of course, they're included in there, but it blows them away. It takes her to a different...
But
you see, I think you can be
cute and attractive also means doable.
No, I don't know. Not
you wouldn't do a girl who's cute or attractive?
No, not necessarily. Attractive is someone who is, I think, pleasant to look at, but not necessarily everyone's cup of tea.
Well, I'm just talking about, you know, you can only speak for yourself, though, and I'm only speaking for myself,
okay,
about what you or I consider to be doable, hot,
cute,
attractive.
When I hear you say hot, I immediately think, like Jennifer Aniston, you say hot.
She is hot.
That immediately says to me, doable, super hot.
All right, I would also say, I'm going to go down the list here. I have like, how many girls? We have 105 girls rated on our list.
Wow, okay.
I'll go halfway through, okay?
All right, very good.
To about number, I got it, 59, Marina Sirtis, who's Deanna Troi.
Okay.
I'd still say at 59 she's doable.
I'd say she's hot.
And let me go to your list. On your list of number 59,
yeah,
you have Jane Seymour.
Jane Seymour,
would you say she's doable?
I would say she is attractive.
So you would not do Jane Seymour?
No, I would not.
All right, we'll see. Now we're finding...
Not her, you know, not the way she is now. Perhaps, I believe in you know, previous years, she was hot.
Well, let's see how far the bar has to be lowered for me, though.
Okay, all right, very good.
I'll go 10 spots lower.
Okay.
I'll go down to number 69, which in my case is Christina Applegate.
All right.
I'd say she's doable still at number 69 on my list.
I would say she's hot.
On your list, number 69 is Marie Osmond.
And I would say she's attractive.
Right. Wouldn't be Marie Osmond.
Attractive and cute, but I wouldn't do her.
All right, let's go down to 79.
Okay,
see if that's where I draw the
line.
Here
we go. Let's see what happens.
79 for me, it's Jodie Foster.
All right.
Okay, that's where I draw the line. I wouldn't do Jodie Foster.
So how would you describe her?
See, Jodie Foster would not be cute, attractive, or hot.
See, I would think I consider Jodie Foster to be attractive.
So I don't. Well, let me see. I gave her... Well, you didn't rate her as attractive. I gave her a 3, and for goodness sakes, you gave her a lower rating. You gave her a 2.9.
A 2.9, but I still think she's attractive. I just don't think she's, you know, cute or hot.
Right. All right, let's go 10 above, because I originally started at 59. Let's go to 49.
Okay.
My number 49 is Tiffany Amber Thiessen, who is definitely cute, hot, attractive, and so doable. You're number 49. Let's see where your bar is.
Okay.
So to speak. Alicia Silverstone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think she's cute, hot, attractive, and doable?
I think she's cute and attractive, but I'd have to say, you know, she vacillates so much from being really hot to being... Not even attractive.
Even when she's piggy, I do her.
I don't know. I don't like her when she's piggy.
All right, then we're going to have to go 10 more up. Let's go to number 39. Number 39 on my list is Kristen Johnson, who is the big Amazon.
She was number 39 on your list?
I gave her 5.5.
Wow.
Yeah, obviously, I think she's hot.
You like the personality, too.
Doable.
Yeah.
Okay. Your number 39 is Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm. I consider her to be hot.
Doable?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so there you go.
Okay.
So for me, the bottom line is I have to go all the way down to number 79 to find the first woman that I wouldn't do. But on your list, it's number 39. So that says a lot about her morality.
It's something that, you know, that list is very... I didn't realize that list was broken out so that we had our rankings side by side. That is... Who's your number 10?
Christine the intern.
Who's my number 10?
Jennifer Aniston.
Okay. All right. That's an interesting... I don't think I've ever been aware that it's broken out like that.
Let me see. I would like to change one. Now that, you know, we could do another whole show about rating women.
Well, there's so many new women on the horizon.
We don't have time today, but even looking at this list now, I'd like to, for instance, change my rating of Gillian Anderson.
Like to move it higher.
Yes, I've given her a 2.5.
You were really down on her for a while.
Which I think is a great injustice to Gillian Anderson. I think Gillian Anderson is a solid 4.
Okay. All right, that'll move her up to the middle of the pack for you.
At some point, we'd have to move her up. If I gave her a 4, she'd be up by Bridget Fonda, Brooke Shields, Kate Winslet.
Who is that?
Kelly LeBrock.
How deep is that list? How far does it go?
What do you mean?
How many women are on the list? I mean, how many women?
105. We've created 105 women.
Who's 91?
Number 91 for me is Nichelle Nichols?
Who's that? From the original Star Trek.
Uhura. We're getting into dog territory, okay? Number 91 for you is Alanis.
Alanis Morissette?
Yeah, they're all dogs. I'll give you our... Okay, you're from 91 to 105.
All right.
These are the dogs. Uhura from Star Trek for me.
Right.
Then for you, Alanis. The 92 for me is Kathy Najani.
The Jeannie, the lady from Veronica's Closet.
Right. Then for you, 92 is Janine Garofalo.
Uh-huh.
For me, 93 is Jenna Elfman. For you, it's Mayim Bialik.
Bialik.
Yeah. Then she's my number 94.
Blossom.
On your number 94, it's Jenna Elfman.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of similar. We both think the same women are fugly.
It's Jenna Elfman and Elfman, the
Dharma
and Greg. Dharma and Greg. Mm-hmm.
My 95 is Alanis. Your 95 is the big fat Kathy Najimy or whatever.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 96, we both agree. Calista Flockhart.
Yay!
97, we both have Courtney Love.
Okay.
98, we both have Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
You know, we are so similar when we read these bottom women.
Yeah,
99, Monica Lewinsky.
Mm-hmm.
My number 100 is Stevie Nicks. Your number 100 is Bonnie Franklin. My 101 is Madeleine Albright. Your 101 is Janet Reno.
Here we go.
My 102 is Bonnie Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
Your 102 is Madeleine Albright.
Uh-huh.
My 103 is Linda Tripp. Your 103 is Barbara Streisand. My 104 is Janet Reno. Your 104 is Linda Tripp.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a 105. I take it back. You have one more than me.
Okay.
Or no, that would be it. 104 is the bottom.
Okay, the bottom of the list.
104 is the
bottom. My last was Linda Tripp?
Yes, and my last is Janet Reno. Remember, that was the big argument we had? Those are the two ugliest women on the planet. If we had to...
Still stand by that? If you had to make the choice of who would you do? You do Janet Reno before Linda Tripp?
No, you know, actually, I have Janet Reno. Hold on. I have Linda Tripp at 0.1.
Right.
And Janet Reno at a 0. So I guess I would do Linda Tripp before Janet Reno.
Right, that's safe.
And you also have... I take it back. You have it the other way. You have Linda Tripp at 0.1.
Mm-hmm.
And Janet Reno at 0.
0.
0.
0.00.
Mr. Bluthart. Well, anyway, that's the difference between cute, hot, and attractive.
Of course.
I guess just for me it is.
Yes, Now I know that whenever you say... hot, you're talking about cute and attractive as well. Any woman that you think is in any way acceptable, you're going
is
to
doable.
Call, you're going to say hot.
Yeah, I do her.
So when you say a woman is not hot, they cannot be attractive or cute.
Right. Yeah, so it's all the same.
Now I understand.
It's all the same.
Okay.
So anyway. Hey, listen, we got a big prize to give away next Friday. $10,000 car, more than a stereo system.
It's not FMC.
It's an outside alarm system for your car. And it includes a navigation system, a widescreen monitor for watching DVDs, an in-dash DVD, an in-dash CD player, and much more. All of it completely installed in your ride from Sound Solutions.
Good.
Sound Solutions has everything you need for in-car multimedia, DVD, TV tuners, multiple screens, VCR, etc. Please call them at 631-4104. That's Sound Solutions. They've given us this great $10,000 package for a car.
Wonderful.
And we'll be giving it away next Friday on the show.
Good.
When we're going to have equipment down here to judge a big scream-off.
Yeah, the decibel meter.
Mm-hmm. And at some point in today's show, we'll start qualifying people. You can call it and scream.
Good.
And if we think your scream is blood-curdling and loud enough.
And has a certain, you know, quality to it.
Well, then we'll let you in the contest.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we'll have a...
Spice was category for topless girls in the contest. Of course. Yeah. Because we have to do that.
Yeah, we have to have some topless girls.
That's everyone that's our job.
That's just the way the show is.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I've already brought it up with my wife, so she won't be calling in to scream about it.
She might
still call in to scream about it, but I've already told her. You know, that's my new tack now with Frida.
Yes.
That I will just mention, like you mentioned over the weekend.
How did you bring that? Because that one hasn't even been born yet.
I was doing some work for the show, and I said, you know, we've got some great prizes coming up. So we got a trip to Buffalo. We got a trip to Vegas.
Right.
I said, did I tell you about this car stereo or give it away? I said, you know, we're going to have people call in and scream. So I'm probably have some girls do it topless. And she just looked at me, and I said, so now you know. And then
you just walked out of the room quickly?
She didn't say anything. So, you know, either she was listening and not listening, or either she's just used to it by now, but we'll see. We'll see.
It's one of those just moments where I'm just kind of glad the way things work on this show, that you kind of, you know, come up with these things and do it, and I'm just kind of riding along here, just going along with it. I think that makes me comfortable, because when the heat really gets on, I just look at my wife and say, it's John's idea.
All right, now here's a girl that wants to send us some naked pictures.
Good.
Hello, Emily.
Yes.
You want to send us naked pictures of who? Of you?
The love anus. Up in anus.
Oh, No. You're very bad. So selfish. So totally selfish. No. Self-absorbed. No. You lied to big, goofy Mike the screener. You and that piece of scum that you're with. I can hear him whispering into your ear.
Thank you.
Thank you.
People are addicted to it.
Yes, they are.
Their number back to call them back.
Yeah, you know, Mike the intern used to tell me that during the commercials, people won't stop calling about that anus.
No, it doesn't surprise me at all.
You know, our listeners, they just won't let it go.
Of course, and even though we say it, and you know, you had one call during the break there, you know, and I mean it!
Right! Okay, let's see. Here's another call that's been screened. So we'll see. Unless this is just another cheap ploy to mention Planet of the Anuses or something.
And now that somebody's done it, you know, everybody's going to do it.
There's no easier, and just if you're wondering, if you don't want to scam us, there's no easier way to get on this show than to have your girlfriend call and say that she wants to send us some nude pictures.
Absolutely.
That always goes to the top of the
stack. Bingo.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Don? What's up, Mike?
Hey,
Robbie.
Hey, buddy.
Yo, bro, I was rolling up, going back to work. You guys had me laughing so hard I ran over a cat on the way back to work.
That's horrible.
Did he kill it instantaneously?
Well, not necessarily. Kind of spun around and started shaking and, like, crawled back to the sidewalk and died, you know.
Did you go back to make sure it was dead?
Yeah. I feel kind of bad, but then I figured, hey, you guys might want to hear about it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Just want to let you know, the brothers still love you out here in Sacramento.
All right, thank you.
And to every other Las Vegas-style show, you'll never be like the one in Sacramento. All right, bro.
Right on. All right, Sal.
All right, bye-bye. All right, okay. Oh, dear. Well, a moment of silence for the cat.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
It's the other Greaseman anus.
Hello,
Don and Mike Show.
People, you have no discipline, do you?
None whatsoever.
No discipline. Hello?
Anus 50.
No, come on, please. We are done with that now.
It is unforgivable that they cannot discipline themselves.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
Don't say it. No more.
Discipline yourself.
All right, that guy hung up. So then we started yelling at him. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I was driving home from work the day. You guys made me laugh so hard I ran over a black guy.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, come on.
What is wrong with these people?
Hello, wrong with people?
Yeah. Oh, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, listen, I just got back from the doctor. I think I got some bad news.
No, what?
You said I got a bad case of benign prostatic hypoplasia.
That's the thing that Dingle Boy sang,
right? Oh, okay.
Prostate. Got enlarged that. Prostate.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, yeah, I got some suggestions.
For what? Suggestions for what?
For movies.
What have we said? Have you heard of that?
No, I'm not on the radio. I'm at work.
No, you're on the radio, and we're done with that now.
Oh, well.
No, we're done with it.
Okay.
You have to discipline yourself. We said it. We made it very clear that we're done with it.
Just remember...
No! How frustrating it must be for you to know that whatever your feeble attempt is, it will never get on the air.
On practice?
No! It'll never make it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I just got on twice.
That is no great thrill on this show. Hello, Don and my show.
Yeah, Howard Stern's private anus.
Oh, oh,
come on now.
Boo.
You can knock him off.
God, everybody's just not disciplining themselves. Hello, Don and my show.
Don and Mike, my brothers.
Yes?
How are you doing today?
Okay.
We're a little wary right now. We're a little jumpy on the phone.
Don't be jumpy. I'm not going to go there.
Okay, good.
Hey, I'm calling for me, Mike. Hope you had a good time up there.
It's the hottest I ever remembered up there.
I'll tell you what, we were peaking.
I've been going up there my whole life, but never remembered any hotter up in Maine.
They were shutting the power off to people up there because everybody was using air conditioner.
That's right. There's no such thing in there.
Bruno, how are you supposed to live without AC?
That's right, man.
All right. Hey, the good, the bad, and the
You fired me up, and it's your fault.
It's my fault.
It's your fault because you got suckered in. Everybody says they're from Maine, right?
Man, I get totally suckered in by that. Boy, that makes me feel bad.
I knew it, too.
I knew it.
With this boring air conditioning.
Oh, my God.
The good, the bad, and the anus.
Hangs up and runs away.
Yeah,
runs back to his lobster boat.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Dynamite?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I don't want to play the game. I want to give you something to think about.
No.
No.
You're just going to mention another movie title.
No.
I'm sorry.
Why do you make us do this to you?
Why do you make me do this? You made me do this.
No fun on the playground when this happens. No.
Hello, Dynamite Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
How about...
No. How about no more anus call?
No. You can get on the air. Hello, Dynamite Show.
This is Sam Donaldson and...
No. Hold on.
No.
Is this Tom Gavin?
Yeah, but he's got one. Tom, even if it is, he's got one.
I'll take one from Tom Gavin.
It's going to be an anus call.
Is it Tom?
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Honestly, I thought it was Tom Gavin.
Sorry about that.
It's been so long since I've heard from TG.
I know.
It has. Hello, Don and my show.
Hope he's all right.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I would like to send some
nude pictures
of myself,
Don
and my show.
Hello, please.
Hello,
Don and my show.
Mi vida loca.
Uh-huh.
That was it. That's the funny thing about the rock dude, too, with that Vita Loca.
Yes.
That made me laugh out loud.
When he does that thing where he slides across the stage?
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris Rock is so funny. Who was I talking to last night? It was one of those parents that called to see if Bart had called us from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid's parents, they had only heard from their kid one time. So we're just making small talk with them.
Right.
And then the dad picks up the phone and says to me, hey, I was listening to your show the other day.
Right.
Said, I don't know, you guys are so wrong about Chris Rock. And I was like, what? Hello?
Mm-hmm.
He's like the funniest guy in the world.
Right.
Right away, I do. I don't know what this dad was doing listening to our show.
He didn't like Chris Rock?
No.
Boo.
Didn't get into it.
Didn't like probably the blue.
The blue.
He works a little blue, you know? I mean, that's true.
He's hilarious, though.
Gotta work blue sometimes.
Says it like it is.
Get the message across.
Like, Chris Rock is so funny. I want to pull a whole bunch more tapes off that special than the... Mm-hmm. I think we only have two tapes, right? About the porno, about Get Your Jerk On.
No, that is...
In Robitussin, too.
In Robitussin.
Yeah, in the Daddy poured the tussin on it. A
little tussin.
Get a
broken leg. Tussin to get down to the bone.
Daddy poured a tussin on it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
I'd like to know who was better when you were having intimate relations with Pat Benatar or that midget when your friends were watching from the closet.
Now, see, that is an excellent question. I would say Pat Benatar was much better than the midget that I had sex with while Big Jim Ryan and Bill Bailey watched.
But, you know, you had said that the midget was not bad.
Dwarf.
No, not bad.
Dwarf. That's right.
Well, I was curious, I think.
All right, thank you, sir.
Okay, bye, Bobby.
That's good. That was a very disciplined call.
It was a very serious question. I'm not answering those serious questions.
That's right.
Tell them about my show. Who was better, the rock star that I had sex with,
right,
or the midget I had sex with,
while two
disc jockey, dwarf, while two disc jockeys hid in the closet and watched me? Hello? And you know, one of the guys that hid in the closet...
You know, if you had said that the dwarf was better, it might have spoken to your 5%. You know, because you had two guys and they're kind of watching you.
One of the guys that was in the closet, you know, the guy's like an executive now on radio.
Oh,
I saw his picture on one of the radio magazines recently.
So he became an executive after he came out of the closet.
That's right. He was in the closet, and he's out now. I was looking at this guy's picture in this newspaper, going, "I know this guy."
Big radio exec.
It's Big Jim Ryan, except that, of course, his name is James P. Ryan.
Whatever
it is now.
You have to use the full first name when you become an executive.
Hello, Don and my show.
Hi,
Hi, I just wanted to let you guys know that whole movie blank thing is just a guy thing. Women don't think it's funny.
Really?
Really?
We had a lot of women. We had a lot of women call with theirs, so that would indicate that those women that called did think it was funny.
Honey, that was a funny bit.
Maybe two of them, but today all these geeky guys calling their dorks. Women don't think it's funny. Let it go.
Honey, listen, we're not doing the show for you, okay?
Well, you're doing it for women. It's like the Three Stooges and stuff. Women don't get into those guys.
Oh, no. I know women that love the Three Stooges. You've got a problem.
Honey, the Three Stooges are funny, and this show is funny every day.
That's right. And lots of women enjoy lots of different things just because you, Miss, the sun rises and sets with me. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean necessarily that other women don't like it.
I'm going to tell you a list of things that are funny that I'm sure you don't find funny.
Farts.
Mm-hmm. Three Stooges.
Right.
Anuses.
Mm-hmm.
Mike's new haircut. All of those things are very, very funny, and you might not think they are. But they are. They are funny.
And I understand that you wouldn't think number four was funny because it would simply be too sexy.
All right, thank you.
Well, you guys snap out of it. You're in bad news because these guys are dorks. So snap out of it and get on with the great show.
You have such an agenda.
Tell you something, honey. You are the C-word personified. Okay?
Oh, thank you.
You hear me? You must have a C on your forehead.
Yeah, you're the one that's in the bad mood. We're in fantastic moods today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry I called and ruined your show then.
Well, I certainly hope that you get into a better mood.
Okay.
Get some. You need to get some, honey.
All right.
When's the last time you had some man meat?
2 days ago.
2 days ago?
Mm-hmm.
Was it satisfying?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
When's the last time that you were really satisfied? I mean, all the way.
Actually, 2 days ago.
You have to be filled to make a call like this to this show. And we've been doing this show for a long enough period of time, but I know this to be a fact now. To make a call like this, and as I hear you breathing heavily into the phone, you have to be filled with a great deal of, believe it or not, rage.
You're angry.
Because it does take, I mean, I will give you credit, it does take a bit of courage to do it. It does, but it has to, you have to, there has
the
to be
the courage has to come from somewhere.
And it comes, I believe, from this woman's unbridled anger and rage.
Why are you mad at the world?
Tell us about it.
Why are you mad at your maker?
We're here to help.
Why are you mad at God? Really, honey, why are you mad at everybody?
I just watched Oprah. I'm in a wonderful
mood. All right, what did Oprah tell you on TV that made you mad today?
Oprah said we should all forgive each other and make our own choices.
What made you so mad that you would hear Simply the World's Finest radio show and dare to call in and say that something we were doing that was killer was not good? What made you do that?
No, it was funny yesterday. It's just those dorks that were calling today.
That's not what we're asking you. We are not talking about the show now. We are talking about you.
And there are dorks that call the show every day.
That's right. So, once again, we'd love you to answer the question, why? Where's it coming from? Where's the anger coming?
What happened to you?
Tell us, because we can help.
I had children.
Are your children driving you nuts?
Yeah.
No, there's more to it than that. Come on.
Let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Baby steps.
Come on now. Tell us, really.
My dog?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
why are you so mad?
Actually, my cat's acting up.
No, I don't buy that.
No.
You gotta, if we're going to help you, you're going to need to be honest with us.
Let's face it. This show is the best thing that happens to your life every day. I mean, I'm being totally serious.
That's right. As a matter of fact,
this show is the 4 hours that you have out of the day where you know you're going to get perfection.
Don, can I go one step further?
Yeah, sure.
This show is probably the only thing she really loves in her life. And she, you know, you always hurt the ones you love.
Mm-hmm.
So she chose to lash out at us today.
You know what you're like? You're like an abusive parent.
I know. I used to be a man, baby, and now I'm a woman.
Yeah.
No, come on. I feel bad for you. You can't be honest with us.
You got to be honest. We have to get this dialogue going. Why did you choose to lash out at us today?
We don't deserve it.
We don't.
This is a great show.
That's right.
It is.
A great show that does not deserve the foul words that you splattered on us today.
Mm. So you know what it is?
How dare you?
Now, are you going to be honest? Are you about to say, do you know what it is?
What is it?
Are you going to be honest with us?
I used to get birthday spankings from you guys every year.
Here we go.
And I haven't had them for 2 years.
All right.
And I really need some makeup birthday spankings.
I don't doubt that you need to be slapped around a little bit. I don't doubt that.
Oh, God.
I really don't. You know, some women need it, Mike.
Oh, God. Okay, Bobby.
Bobby
Knight.
This is Bobby Brown. I'm not talking about Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown, Bobby Knight.
But I don't have the time to slap you, really. too busy doing the perfect radio show. But if you would like to call back at some point, really, and tell us why it is that you're angry.
Once you compose yourself, because right now I can tell, even you're laughing, but it's bubbling underneath the surface. Rage. Pure, unbridled rage.
I'll call back when I'm in a better mood.
I would understand the call if this was not simply the greatest radio show that's being offered.
That's right.
But we know you love us. And we know you love this show. And we know this show's great. And today's a killer episode.
And maybe it is. You know, and that's a good idea, to call back when you're in a better mood and maybe we could talk about it. Because, you know, you always hurt the ones you love. And now you're probably regretting calling because, you know, you just lashed out and you were angry.
Would you like to apologize to us
and our listeners?
I'm very, very sorry I called and gave you a hard time today.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Who was wrong?
I was wrong.
And what were you wrong about?
You set me straight.
What were you wrong about?
I was wrong about complaining about the dorks that called the show.
There you go.
Right. Furthermore, you love the anus, don't you? And you love the anus bits.
You just don't go there. It's
Say it. Say I love the anus. Say it. Say it.
I love the anus for what God intended it to do.
Oh, frigidity.
Would you say that you love Don and Mike's anus?
No, wouldn't say that.
Oh, I guess we reached the limit here, huh?
Would you say you love Buzz's anus?
No, I think there's been too many doctors in there.
Would you say you love your husband's anus?
No, definitely.
Okay. All right. But as a general statement, you love anus. You love the anus.
Oh, sure. I love the anus.
Okay. Thank you.
Goodbye.
He turned around. That's how you take a complaint call. You turned around.
She's better now. Forgot to get the one anus. She loves her own.
Hello. Not in my show.
Is this me?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, first off, thank you for bringing perfection to my life every day.
Thank you. You're welcome.
There you go. Here's a happy woman.
You're welcome, ma'am.
And I just like to say there's nothing better than a good anus joke, and all women do, as far as I'm concerned, that was a great bit.
Bravo! Yes,
beautiful. Yeah. Thank you.
Perfect call.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I didn't want to say anything, but I think somebody that called was having a special time. Somebody had some water gain, maybe, you know.
Hey, did I say my wife's having her period?
And you know how I know?
How? No finer way to find out than coming down to breakfast in the morning and sitting on the table is a big old wrapped tampon.
Oh,
yeah, really. Like, I guess she was going to take it with her. She was going to go out and do stuff later today, and they have to take them with her.
She had to have one with her.
This is not a pen.
My kid does it. What? Tampons for breakfast again?
Did you make me a bagel woman?
Please, what's your problem, Frida?
Yes, very free with that. You know, in this day and age, there's no stigma around it anymore.
And they're all over our house, man. I mean, the wrappers are everywhere.
If I'm in a grocery store and I make a mistake and turn down that aisle, I still walk quicker. I don't know what it is. I feel like some of those tampon boxes are going to reach out and grab me around the throat.
Well, you let me know if your wife is having her soon, because our wives seem to be on the same cycle.
Yes, last week.
Oh, really?
Last week, yes.
Really?
Got out of step.
I wonder if my wife is late.
The bruising is starting to go down.
No.
That's fine. She threw the coffee cup at me.
I wonder if my wife is late or your wife is early. Because normally, aren't they pretty much within...